this is quote unquote intermediate. So we assume you all are familiar with somewhat with the education program model, somewhat familiar with the extension, although we'll kind of start from some basic levels as well. So welcome. And we're the two co-facilitators today. I'm Ty Flanagan, I'm with the Wikimedia Foundation, and I support education programs primarily in the Middle East and Africa. So with that caveat, I'm a little outside of my comfort zone when talking about the English Wikipedia, so there are some similarities, but that's why I have Darren with me.
Yeah.
Because I work at the University of Hull in Scarborough, so I actually work with Tony Sand. And Tony Sand also happens to be my PhD supervisor, which is a strange and interesting relationship. So part of my research is about things like MediaWiki and tying MediaWiki and social media together. So I've been involved in kind of some of that stuff, some back-end sort of MediaWiki work and bits and pieces like that. And I've taught on modules that both Tony and myself and Greg in the past have been involved in. So when Greg mentioned he was teaching at Hull, I was actually involved in his module as well. So we've kind of got experience of kind of using the course of extension in the wild a little bit.
What is your research
about? My research is primarily about being able to use MediaWiki for particular groups of practice. So in the case of the principal case study I'm going to look at, Tony's involved in a project in Malta called the Malta Reason Memory Project. And it's about preserving memories of music, performance, and a whole lot of those kind of related things in Malta, in kind of small communities of practice. And, okay, the first thing was that there was an encouragement to try and get people to contribute their memories and things and add media via the MediaWiki platform. But the barriers to entry are there. However kind of easy we may think using the wiki tools are for some people, there are issues of digital literacies which make it difficult for them to, and actually in some cases they don't want to engage with that platform because they use other platforms already. So lots of them, for instance, will share memory, including photographic stuff, video stuff, via Facebook. Now, it would be useful if we could actually capture some of that stuff with their permission and archive it together with data that's already in the wiki project about particular artists. So we actually get a more comprehensive archive of what's going on in Malta. But that's not possibly just in Malta, it could be with any community of practice. And my PhD is about putting together a framework for being able to set up a set of tools and to help people have optimized relationships and interactions with the platform, so that people can use the wiki platform to search and search and read and consume in that way, and people can consume using the wiki platform and contribute using the wiki platform, but not just with the wiki platform.
So you're building something that will go like the extension that it's on wiki?
Yeah. The idea is using possibly some extensions to pull things from other places and curate. And the curation issue is also an important issue. It's like, well, who's doing the curation? Is it the tools, or is it actually the users who are deciding which things should stay? So there are issues around that.
Okay. And then before we dive into the proposed agenda for this afternoon, I'd like to just go around the table and hear who you are and kind of what you're hoping to get out of the afternoon, or what kind of experience you bring to the table, whether it's education in general or some of the specific tools that we might want to talk about.
Okay, I'm Fabian Thompson. I'm temporarily working for Wikimedia UK as a volunteer support manager, but I'm also doing an ICT and development MSc at UEO, and I'd really like to get something going. I'm starting to get a bit of interest from some fellow postgrad students, and I think maybe I can get maybe one or two academics to take it up as well. So really, I'm gonna like the next step of how to drag people in and nail them down to doing something.
Gotcha. Okay. Specific queries about course rights and the course page wizard?
It is the course wizard, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, great.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure. Finally, we're doing the education program.
I'm Greg C. from the University of Stirling. Probably will have some of the stuff that I've been doing from my presentation. I'd like to know a little bit more about Wikimetrics. I'm still a little bit crowded on that, but I think it's potentially an amazing tool. A little bit more on the courses and a little bit more on extensions as well.
Okay.
I've got clarity on some of the issues.
Should be
in for
as well.
Can we
get as well and also Tokyo University. I would very much like to get inspired by some other stuff that are going on that I might not know about.
Hi, I'm Samir Sharbati. I'm the new Wikimedia Foundation's education communications intern. Roberto will help you if you want to show after the program, if you have experiences to want to share with everyone to get something from it. To get experience from you and to support when I can and so on.
I'm Mira Vogel, I'm from University College London, where I am an e-learning facilitator. I'm very interested in collaborative work and assessment, and I know a little bit about that in higher education. I'm a campus ambassador, though I only registered fairly recently. We have someone else at UCL as well, who I think you know, Raya.
Yeah.
So far, I have organised a translator-thon.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be in Global Women's Health, but I didn't manage to arrange the editor film that preceded it, where our UCL's medical scholar was hoping to interest them in refining some of the articles that the translator film would work on. I've got some ideas for that. So it's kind of a mixed picture at UCL, where some people are really up for it and get it, and then other people, for some reason or another, and I'm not quite sure why, so I'd quite like to today just maybe touch on reluctance and how to persuade people. And I'd also, part of that, anticipating all of the questions and the trepidations that academics might come with about time, about what they do, about contingencies,
I'm Jamie Matheson. I work at the Wiki Education Foundation. So we support the education program in the US and Canada. And I am here to learn about educators and resources for English Wikipedia.
Awesome.
I got a recorder here.
Okay.
So I hope everybody's happy if I record this session.
Have you started already?
Sorry?
Have you started already?
I have, but I can blank it out.
That's
okay,
fine.
We're on the record. you can also pass me notes if you want off the record. All right. So it seems like we kind of have a mixed bag, but we have a few hours to kind of to hash out a few things this afternoon. I'm thinking we'll start with more of the things like talking about maybe buy-in or course design, assignment design from the beginning, and then ease our way into some of the more technical things like getting a course up and running on Wiki, getting students registered, and then what do you do when the semester's over? You crunch some numbers through some of the tools like Wikimetrics. We have some slides, we have a proposed agenda, but we're also open to being completely derailed if you guys want to focus on one thing more than another thing. And if you think we're covering something that doesn't need to necessarily be covered, we can skip over that too. So, super flexible today. So, with that in mind, and before I got your feedback, my proposed agenda was talking about learning outcomes for students, and then which assignment design, and then taking that and getting prepared on Wiki, and also having things like contingency plans in place, and then actually running the assignment, and then finishing up with some evaluation. And this later section, again, gets on the education extension, some of the quirks that has. Does that sound good for now? Is there any glaring gap that I'm not addressing from what we just said around the table? One thing I might have missed out was more of the persuasion of academics and getting buy-in, but...
Yeah,
sorry, I suppose just two things. Was anyone at the EduWiki session in Cardiff last year for that course extension? Good. That's one good thing. Two, I noticed as we went round, because I just thought about this before the session,
uh-huh.
Obviously because the school session is in one of the rooms, I didn't know if we were all going to get all HE people. We see, we're kind of mostly HE, aren't we? So it's kind of not outside of the HE kind of thing, so we can kind of keep it fairly constrained to that area, I think, which is good.
All right. Well, I thought we'd kick off with just kind of an open discussion. And it makes me think about some of the morning sessions. What should students be getting out of a Wikipedia assignment? Why are we doing a Wikipedia assignment? It could involve how are we pitching this to other academics if we're trying to get buy-in or things like that. But what should students be getting out of this? Or maybe what should teachers be getting out of it as well? If you have particular experience, or...
Well, from my perspective, and I mentioned this in my presentation, that the whole idea of peer review, the principle behind it is around quality assurance and quality processes, and also on matters associated with trustworthy sources, credible sources, reliability, verifiability, etc. All of these things, to my mind, are kind of fielded by Wikimedia projects. I think that they're all embedded in there, but there is a suspicion around, you know, what actually is, you know, kind of what constitutes quality assurance and processes. But peer review within an academic context is kind of fundamental to what we do in terms of research. It's fundamental to what we do in terms of reputation, both in terms of, you know, being independent researchers and individual researchers and as part of institutions. So the idea, I think, is to kind of get students kind of thinking, right, okay, well, why is it that we use the term peer review all the time? What does it mean? What are its implications? And how can you kind of teach that in a hands-on kind of context? And I think that Wikipedia projects are really, really useful for that. So that's a definite kind of outcome is kind of, you know, looking at evaluation, quality control, and peer review within a kind of practical setting. If that makes sense.
For students, it's also about, first of all, getting to know better to what they are using anyway all the time. Most of them don't know very basic stuff that are simply there even before they start to contribute, but just being smarter users of Wiki projects. So, I don't know, teaching them basics like clicking on the globe so they can get to the main page, or telling them about recent history, or I don't remember if that's the name of Nishwiki, and the top pages, etc., etc., and just featured articles and all the features that they can use, being able to assess if an article is good or lacking something on wikis that don't have that grading systems.
Yeah.
Like Hebrew doesn't have it. Arabic has it.
It has the good and featured articles, but there's not
featured
the,
articles we have as well.
But not the ABC.
Yes, we
scale.
Don't have them. Yeah. So giving them tools to better assess what they are, and just making them more aware of someone called it literacy, like Wiki literacy. So I like that term because I think it's just like we were taught how to. I don't know how to use encyclopedias. They need to learn how to work with this tool, what they can do with it, what they can do with it, in a more conscientious way. So that's one thing that what they get out of it. Besides that, if they actually learn how to edit, I think most of them love the idea of giving back to the community. After they actually do it, they really like feel proud that, hey, I have something, and people actually look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to give them the tools and teach them how to check it, because, I mean, that's cool. For teachers, it's usually more about creating a database on their specific field of interest. If they're teaching psychology, so they want articles related to that subject, and having their students contribute to a growing pile of knowledge that's available to everyone. So that's, and the downside, of course, is that most of them don't understand how much time, energy, and work it takes to actually do it during the semester. And I think it's really important to differentiate between different kinds of assignments.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think in addition to the wiki literacy, I mean, they really build their media literacy skills. So personally, I don't really care if a student learns how to use Wikipedia. I think it's great, but if I were the professor, I would really think, okay, well, they're using that anyway, but the fact that they can learn how to find, you know, reliable sources and evaluate reliable sources, I mean, it's essentially a research project when they're writing. And then being able to put that into Wikipedia and kind of understand how, you know, sources work with each other and how they influence each other and things like that, I think is really impactful for students.
I think that's a really interesting point. The first thing you said about you don't care whether, you know.
It's great, and
yeah,
as Wikipedians, we want them to.
Absolutely,
yeah.
But it's kind of incidental to a higher learning process,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
One of the things, actually, recalling some of the student feedback from, I think, the first time that we ran a wiki project down in Hull, one of the things that the student said was, yeah, if we're learning out of Wikipedia, I've learned nothing else. It's kind of like, yeah, missed the point. So that got me thinking about, okay, well, how do you kind of get across the idea that you're not learning, just learning how to use wiki tools and wiki marker? That's the medium through which you're going to learn something else.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that might be, and you could use that in a number of contexts. But that's a real issue, I think. It's getting that kind of idea across that it's beyond the tools.
I think it's hard for students to really reflect on their own learning in the first place.
Sure.
But one thing I found useful, and I say I found useful, I'm not actually a professor, so I advise people to do this and then they report back that it worked well, is for them to equate it to something they know really well. Like, they would never consider writing an essay in Microsoft Word a class project about learning how to use Microsoft Word,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we're kind of 10, 15 years behind that, maybe 20. But it is that tool, and kind of helping them understand, you know, you have to learn how to use it and how to use the basics if you're going to kind of, I don't know, achieve those higher learning outcomes.
I think it's really interesting to contrast Wikipedia assignments with what goes on at the moment, which is often, if it's an essay, then it's a case of slaving for God knows how many hours to produce something that an academic might have, if you're lucky, 15 minutes to spend,
mm-hmm.
on 20 minutes, one person, or if you're lucky, if it's higher stakes, you might get, you know, a second marker and then an external. But and then where does it go?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. So, you know, I think this is about what social media kind of implies for,
mm-hmm.
the work that people do, the scholarship, you know.
Also, I think it has an impact on what, broadly speaking, is the role of higher education in society. And where you have people of an understanding of what you might call popular understanding of whatever, particularly being involved in popular understanding of the past. I was at a discussion about the memorialization of slavery, and I demonstrated how, just putting a simple fact that David Ricardo was an abolitionist and his sister married a slave owner. This took me about half an hour. I could put it on his Wikipedia article, and that had 20,000 views a month.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe only 2,000 of those people actually looked at the bit I put on. But that's reach.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually the knowledge coming out of the learning and research going out into the broader society, and I feel that's becoming recognised as more of an important element of what higher education is about. It's the learning that goes on in there and its ability to extend beyond the specific institution and the group of people doing their study. So that, the whole thing about you were talking about it, is that bigger effect.
Yes, and regarding teaching people or giving them tools, not only teaching them about reliable sources and research and whatever, but when it came to medical related content, it was also about giving future doctors the ability or giving them tools, first of all, peer evaluations, but not only that, also of speaking in plain language that people can understand, which is something that will be very useful in their careers. So that was an important point for some of them and for some of the academics who approved this course in the first place. So.
And I think to your point, what I found useful, kind of going on the reach, that is motivating for students, but it's also kind of a call to action to professors.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I find most effective is you want the scholarship in your field to be represented to the everyday person who is going to come across, look for medical information or information about sociology or psychology or whatever it is. But meanwhile, you cannot advance your career if you're concentrating on that because you need to publish in academic journals because it's 2014 and that's still happening. But you can have your students contribute, and it's a good learning process for them too. And meanwhile, they're kind of giving back to that scholarship that the rest of the world can access, which I think has been, for what I see for students, it's very meaningful for them to be able to reflect on how privileged their education is because they have access to all of these journals and, you know, books in the library and librarians who can help them learn how to research, and being able to kind of transfer that to the rest of the world, and especially if you can kind of pull page views and show them that, they find that.
That's interesting because I was just thinking when you were talking about reach, when you were talking about your thing this morning, Greg, and the civic part, from a political point of view, we're kind of in the West especially, in a position where there's a distrust of established institutions, a distrust of governments. So there's this kind of narrative of a disconnection between the institutions and people. And I think one of the great things about Wikipedia contributions is that you can say to students, look, you're actually going to contribute and get reach. People are going to read what you're writing. And it might make a difference to their lives. There's actually an engagement thing there about a higher level civic purpose about what you're doing. This is actually contributing to the better good of society. It's sometimes really difficult to kind of do it in a kind of abstract term, and you kind of get the glazed look of, it's like, okay, imagine you're an electrical engineer. You write some article about how some particular kind of operational amplifier works, and some kid in a village in West Africa goes and reads that and builds something directly as a result of what your Wikipedia page said, because it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, in the case of medical articles, it's certainly improving public health, and in the end, probably saving lives.
Yes.
Certainly.
And in the case of humanities articles, you can improve it in other ways. For example, on English Wikipedia, we do have a rating system, but anyone who's ever looked at those knows some of them were not updated since 2006, or the person rating it may be very biased towards one perspective. And when you have an article on gender inequality in El Salvador, and there's, you know, an entire section missing on like abortion rights, then maybe that shouldn't be an A quality article, right? And so getting students to kind of look at that and see that and see how that perspective can be skewed and how they can impact that and they can better it, I think, can be really interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Egypt, actually, well, for the university, in which I'm working as a leader for the education program, we're really focusing on translation process in the university in languages. So what students get from the program is some kind of enriching their cultural background, which is crucial and essential for translators. So they get to see stuff that
just helps building how they see the other culture in which they're translating, which is just very important when they're translating. This is one thing. And the other thing is that they get to know that they might actually practice many other types of translation that they never really get the opportunity to practice in class, like astronomical. And sometimes people just are into astronomy and they want to try their hands in how to get the astronomical or technical content, how to translate it into Arabic. And sometimes maybe they don't get the practice needed in this technical in technical translation. So this gives them the opportunity to have more supervised by the professor, of course, supervised practice of technical translation. And well, actually, this is a little bit social. This is the last thing I want to speak about. Translation is a very lonely job. So in the end, you're just sitting in front of your laptop and you're all by yourself. So somehow, many people just bring these people into the project. So you have people to speak with, you have people to discuss stuff with. This is totally actually essential. So I've been working as a translator for 4 years or so, and I know how it goes. I know sometimes you're just sitting all alone and you want to speak with someone, just to maybe not speak with someone like, I mean, outside of your focus of your work, we want to discuss stuff with people. So Wikipedia translator just provides the medium. That's it.
So I think, just kind of circling back, I think there's a lot of different learning objectives or learning outcomes that we can expect our students to get out of a Wikipedia assignment. And at the same time, I think Mira, you raised the point that it's not necessarily easier than a normal assignment. It still takes a lot of work and prep. So kind of to build on that, like, how would we be able to evaluate that some of these objectives are being met by our students? Is it a tool thing? Is it a time thing? Is it an organizational thing? So we want to increase digital literacy, wiki literacy. How do we judge that? Or we want to facilitate online collaboration. How are we going to measure that as ambassadors or educators?
Hell of a lot of scope for peer review.
I think peer review is definitely a huge one.
Reflective looks.
What's that?
Reflective logs. So like in one unit I'm doing, actually a component is you have to do a reflective log about precisely the collaborative elements of the learning process.
So what
on Wikipedia?
This is not on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's where they're basically in the user's talk pages.
Yeah, I was wondering if it would take the energy away from the talk page.
Then,
well, actually, can we just add into that? The other half of the assessed elements to the Wikibook project was, because I kind of gerrymandered it a little bit. It used to be an all block assignment. What I did was I cut it straight in half, and there were three blog posts and comments attached to the entire assessment element. And a lot of the raw materials came out of the talk page and discussion pages. But then the students had to articulate it in very different ways. They had to write a 250-word précis about a particular process or a particular reflection that they had about something. And they had to do that three times throughout the project. It worked really well, actually, because it gave the students not only another way, forced them into another way of kind of communicating and expressing, but also another way of feeding back to one another. So it got them out of the wiki again, out of their environment, and got them thinking in a slightly different way and out of the habit. So I think it worked really well. Was that the kind of thing you were...
That's exactly it, because it's a certain standing back.
Yeah.
Whereas the talk pages, I see, is much more dealing with an issue.
You're in.
But you want to stand back and say, actually, that experience on that talk page was good. Or, like, even when things went wrong, like an example, at least people can reflect on why it went wrong.
Yeah.
Perhaps... I think they might have done things differently.
Yeah.
So if there are problems in the way the assignments go, there's a way in which that can be, they can learn from it, as well as actually showing that.
Yeah. And and the chance to kind of have an overview of that in case something's going to go wrong. You know?
Yeah. So what size group is that roughly? How many students?
We are in the group, I mean, we've got 9 students and we've broken down into 3 groups of 3. So
are there any kind of constraints on, say, the upper levels of kind of how many students you get to before some of those processes start to actually get difficult to scale?
I think I'd go for odd numbers always, better than even. But, you know, 3, 5, 7 is really good.
I think 5 would probably be.
5. There's some research that says 5 is the optimum number.
Traditionally. when IBM used to do software engineering projects, because Fred Brooks, who was one of the first IBM system programmers, set up projects, he always said that 5 was the optimum number because you could never have tied votes in a group of 5. Mm-hmm. You always had to make a decision. Mm-hmm.
So I like that the education extension itself allows you to peer review, and you used it and it was beautiful. So I like that they have a technical tool that helps me and the students do it. So that's the education extension.
Yeah,
the course extension.
It allows you to assign a student to review another student's article. So I like that the technical tool allows us to do it. But I like what you said because that brings me to something that's really bothering me for a long time, and that's scaling. I think all of us are really great in terms of working in small groups, but thinking about taking our everything that we're doing here to the next level, scaling is right now impossible for me. It just takes too much time and energy to manage, I don't know, a 60 people's class. How do we create double that size, triple that size, more courses, more universities? That's a big question.
Maybe you should have specifically a class of 60 people together in one class, one assignment or one course.
Again,
I'm sorry. Maybe you shouldn't put all the 60 students in one course. It would be unified bigger.
Yeah, a lot of the time that's an administration decision that's beyond
in my case it was the wiki course. I mean, if I wanted to allow my students to sign up, I couldn't take
so
it. I mean,
the class has
if I have
60 to the wiki course.
What?
You assign the 60 students of the class in the
day it was an elective,
okay.
So let's say 60 students wanted to assign their course. First of all, it was very difficult to 60. This year I had to size it down, but this is not what I want to do. I want to allow more people to participate, not limit the amount of students per class.
There's the whole kind of prospect of giving group marks for group work, which is really fraught, but it can be done in a kind of equitable way, and it can use kind of 360 degree peer assessment. Again, I don't know if it even saves time because there's so much groundwork and positioning to do before you can. But I do know that if you start early with students at the beginning of their assessment career, then by the time they get more senior, there's less positioning, less, you know, they kind of get it more, so.
Well, we've been using group work as part of the learning process, but I actually don't like the idea of people contributing as a group. I want each and every student to have the tools, and there's always a chance when you work in a group that you'll have someone that's more
division
dominant.
Yeah.
No matter what you do to overcome, and I work with CBLs, TBLs, whatever, case-based learnings, team-based learnings, PBLs, problem-based learnings, all these techniques, it doesn't matter. Even if you let them assess each other and you grade them by this group work, it's still, I'm not even talking about the administrative side of it, which is craziness. But this is the reality. We have limited time, and we still want to have the most impact. So.
I question whether this is a particular problem with Wikipedia, though, because I think it's assessment across the board, whatever we choose. You know, we have cohorts of 180.
Well, I must say that it gets more complicated. are especially compared to courses with where they have sometimes only a final exam. That's grading and that's that. We have tons of that at university still. Sometimes they have midterms. Oh wow. Okay? But when you compare it to what Greg said today of dividing your grade to make them,
yes,
so to speak, do what you want them to do, which is the only way to get them to work in this direction, is grade them by it, then you need to do the work of grading.
Mm-hmm.
And when you divide it to many, many parts, which is what you need to do, because you are checking all sorts of skills. You're checking content, you're checking their communication, you're checking their peer reviews, you're checking anything that you decide on previous to the beginning of the class, then it becomes an issue, certainly.
Is it a kind of rule of thumb that perhaps we might expect to spend more time the higher the level of work is? So for instance, if you're assessing, say, first year work, where you might be teaching some kinds of basic skill stuff, you're looking for more functional kind of easily in targets. So demonstration of certain levels of skill have been reached. Whereas when you're going further into the degree programs in, say, the final year, you're looking for higher level skills. So they are, by definition, probably, not maybe by definition, but maybe they're actually harder to assess. And so you're expecting to spend more time on that sometimes.
There are advantages and disadvantages to working with each group, with each kind of group level. Working with experienced academics could be difficult in terms of they already learned like bad habits, as far as we're concerned. Whereas when you work with first years, you need to teach them skills that they're not Wikipedia related at all. But you need to somehow teach them how to create an opening and how to build, to construct an article in general. Okay, so each group has its own things, but we want to be able to not limit ourselves in terms of who we work with. And sometimes it's not up to you, sometimes it's administrative. For example, I was given the opportunity to do this course, but it's an elective, and what to do? Electives in our med school are only done in the first year. So I get first year students. That's the case. So I won't tell them no, I'm only going to take graduate students.
The point I was kind of getting at was that, you know, you expect as part of the degree program to assess at slightly different levels during the program. So you would expect certain skills to be achieved at a certain level in the first year, and then at a higher level in the second year, or a higher level in the final year. So is there an extra overhead about having to assess in more depth those skills because they're application of higher level skills? I don't know, I'm only asking the question.
When you say we, how many people you were talking about?
things that I'm quite reliant on, actually. For a couple, like last year it was, for that particular project, it was 68 students, and next year we're getting 102.
Yeah.
And then the year after, it's probably more like 150. So, and there's no extra resources for the course, right? It just doesn't follow. So what I built right from the start was this kind of idea of transparency and visibility in public form, essentially in open form, that the students are aware of, and also that their work can be corrected by them in the community at any given time. And there's not a lot you can do about it, and also that's a desirable thing because you learn from that. What's great about that, though, is that I don't have to go about doing checking spelling and plagiarism and citation because it's already done, and actually, it worked really well. You know, so, I mean, it's not 100%, but certainly it does cut down on that particular kind of workload, which you get bogged down in. You know, we're not supposed to correct spelling in higher education, really, but you end up doing it because it annoys you. We all do it, right? So it gets to that point, and all that stuff is great. And, you know, so not only are other students doing it within the collaborative kind of format, but you know, community managers doing it as well. It's great. So that's one way in which the workload is cut down in a sense. It's not, but it is.
Which is again applicable completely in I think specific areas, not others. Well, the obvious example is this medicine, where you don't have enough Wikipedians who know this stuff, that they can actually assess and edit and whatever, they can wikify it. I mean, they can correct wiki mistakes, but they can't assess the content, whereas humanities, law, psychology, philosophy, all kinds of other areas where we have more contributors who can actually help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So online help, of course, yeah, as much as possible, thank you. but it still doesn't change the fact that as their teacher who gives them their grade, you need to have certain deadlines.
But I think in that respect, it basically, you know, the outcomes of your course are doubling or trebling, and the resources that are made available for you to deliver this teaching stays the same. Well, that's where the problem is. And
my institution's pretty good as well, actually, you know, I kind of trying to make resources available.
Yeah.
Other institutions, actually, there's cuts coming.
Well,
they know that they're coming.
I know, but expecting, I mean, I think there may be ways we can make it work more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we're being asked to solve a problem that's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't accept the responsibility that that's our problem to solve. We might be able to say, well, actually, we can do this, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the problem
right.
is being imposed
yeah.
from another place, and we should be clear about
and it shouldn't come to be associated with Wikipedia assignments.
So I just want to kind of circle back to the assignment design element. And it seems like if we were all to create a course right now, every one of our courses would be different and have different components. And I think one thing to consider is that a Wikipedia course can be of any scale or shape or size. It could be a one-week module in your whole semester, or it could take the course of a whole semester, or it could replace an actual, instead of your lit review, you do a Wikipedia article. So I think people use Wikipedia in different ways, and I think one thing to keep in mind is that it should be good for the class and good for Wikipedia. So it's trying to find that mutually beneficial way to frame your assignment. And then maybe we'll take a segue now into some of the more technical online tools that you can use to keep things organized and herd your cats. I guess just as there are other considerations I put down, like choosing the platform you want to be on. It doesn't have to be Wikipedia, it could be Commons, it could be Wikisource. There's a lot of different projects that may suit the, your academic needs and some of the learning outcomes you're trying to seek?
Well, for example, last year when we ran our final year psychology module, some students had already been through the second year and had already done textual editing. So it's kind of, okay, there are other things that they can do. So we were encouraging some of those people who were on the digital art side of our programs to actually start looking at, say, diagrams, figures, things which could be explained in diagrammatic form, create a diagram, upload it to the Commons. So that's another kind of assessment. You can assess, well, is this a good representation of a concept? Does it work in those parameters? So that it's not necessarily all textual. So that there
so
are those kinds.
Yeah. Yeah, there are groups that work only on the Commons, especially we were talking all the time about higher education, but we collaborate with secondary schools, with high school students, and sometimes the best way to reach the smaller kids is let them go to either heritage sites near their place of where they live and get some pictures and upload it to Commons and have contests of who's the best class who contributed most and give them some kind of cool fun day at the National Library. I don't know, something like that, which is stuff that we do. So certainly we definitely, you know, choose the right assignment to the right audience, and it can be a mixture. When you do an assignment, even if it's an article, you can tell your students, hey, go get some new bits, you don't have to rely on what's in Commons, upload it and add it to your article.
And so then I just wanted to, before we get into the extension and talking about preparation, you don't have to reinvent the wheel each time you're doing a course design. Because we've had tons of professors who've done this, we've had varying results, and there's resources like one of the booklets you got in your packet, but there's a whole suite of brochures that I think the UK chapter is localized for the UK context, but they're also available in American English from our San Francisco office, and in different languages like in Arabic and others. There's things like the Wikipedia Adventure, so if you want to onboard your students to Wikipedia, they could do it in a gamified way, and then after that you can dive into the more academic parts of the assignment, so they're familiar with the community, the project, the dynamics, and then they can focus on the real meat of the assignment.
Can you say something more about the Wikipedia Adventure?
Yeah, we can click into it, I guess. Maybe we'll do that, like, we could do it during the break, perhaps. But it's basically a gamified thing on the English Wikipedia where it makes it, you make your first few edits like a challenge and you get points. And it was done through a small individual engagement grant. And so I believe it's localizable, but I'm not sure if it's on any other project besides English right now.
I wanted to localize the Czech Wikipedia, but it was very difficult. And in the stage of development, at the time I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
If it's now finalized, then I
want
to see it.
Okay. Yeah, we can play around with that kind of during the break, I guess. So I guess maybe we'll dive into the prep. So doing a Wikipedia assignment is not easier than doing a normal assignment. It doesn't necessarily take less work. It's not easier to evaluate necessarily, but you can also justify it in terms of reach, payoff, contributing in public knowledge. I think we're all sold on the why. But it takes some planning ahead. Students can't do a Wikipedia assignment last minute the night before. So it does change the whole dynamic of kind of, if you're replacing a term paper with a Wikipedia assignment, it does change the dynamic of the work too. It's not just a last minute thing you can turn in. If you do that, your edits may get reverted or there may be a discussion you didn't really see coming up. And also, if you're a course ambassador or a professor, you need to get the right user rights and you need to get the infrastructure set up. And that sometimes takes time. Like if you don't have your instructor user right or your ambassador user right on Wikipedia, that's an extra hoop to jump through that if you don't plan for it, it could derail your whole schedule. Let's see. So let's hop on the education extension and just look at a few things. So just to go around the room, has everyone been on the education extension on whatever wiki you work on, the English Wikipedia or otherwise?
I didn't use it for mine.
No. Okay. Did you use a wiki page at all, or did you? How did you track?
Wiki books, and then I went through countries.
Okay.
So I went the long way around.
Okay.
I won't be doing that again.
How about others? Did you successfully get on? Okay. So has everyone requested a write before on Wikipedia, like a user write? So we'll start with that on English Wikipedia, just where you were. So in order to use the extension, you have to have a user rights to use the extension. And sometimes that's a bottleneck or a hurdle for some people.
I believe it's the EP instructor right, isn't it?
Yeah, you can request the instructor right or an ambassador right. And it's usually a straightforward process. You say, I'm an instructor from so-and-so institution. I have a course. I need the right. And it's unless
I've requested it, I just need to now find out whether I've got it.
Okay.
The way to find out.
The traveling mechanic.
What?
Sorry. I was like,
if you've got the right,
you
on your menu bar, you should see a courses link.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on my page, I have a courses link up at the top.
Yep.
And the place on English Wikipedia where you would make any requests would be the education notice board here. And it's basically, you'll see, they're mostly just requests for rights here. Ambassador requests, instructor course right request.
If you haven't got to already to yourself,
I mean, there might be some pushback, but I think if you just...
Last year, requested it for me.
Uh-huh.
And because I haven't really done anything, I was going to do it when I had it.
Okay. So it was just a flat out denial? There wasn't.
No, just nothing.
Okay. Okay. So I don't know.
The only person who does them on English Wikipedia is me, but I only do them for the US and Canada. So that would be why Tony had to do it.
So yeah, I don't know much about how the process works.
Just basically, if it's someone in the UK, Tony needs to do it for you. Because he has the coordinator rights now. Yeah. I know.
So once you have that, then it would be setting up your courses. You would first see if is your institution listed. If your institution is not listed, you would create your institution and then create your course under that institution.
Of course, you may not know whether your institution is listed or not.
Pardon?
You may not know whether your institution is listed or not, because it might not be.
Okay.
It might be, because it's quite difficult to find them. So the best way is usually to go into the institution list and actually look for the country search first.
Okay.
You can actually search by country. So you go up to say, well, Britain's listed under GB.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Just after Gabon.
No, exactly.
Okay. So we have Durham, Queen Mary, Students for Best Evidence. Don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
University College London, University of Poland, University of Portsmouth. Currently, as our UK institutions.
Not the University of Indlesham, even though they're involved.
So.
That's interesting.
I don't think I don't have any special rights on English Wikipedia, so I don't think I can create them right now. But.
Anyone can add in. If you have the instructor right, you can add your institution as well.
So. I think I might have an ambassador right. I don't think I have an instructor or coordinator. So, and then we would go to courses, and then we would create the course page. On English Wikipedia and some of the others, like Czech and Hebrew, there's a course page wizard that has this helps you kind of get through and populate your course page. I know you had some questions about that. Do you want to talk about that now, and we can try to debug?
I guess I'll shut this again. It just gets so hot. I don't know if it makes a difference, but.
So I went through the training for the educators, and at the end it said, do you want to start a course with it? So I said yes. I went through and created all my course content,
uh-huh.
And then I went and created my course page.
Uh-huh.
And I linked term.
Okay.
I'm not probably right how to change it.
It's
the end of the page. The whole course setting stage, which will allow you to change the terms to determine when you open and close it. It's the bit that you.
When you start it?
Yeah, add the information.
Yeah. There's a. It should be a text box for
which,
the terms.
Like,
so
we
can
pull
type
up,
in.
We could pull it up now.
And then
which,
if it.
Okay. And it's this. This is
you?
Yeah. It says planned.
Yeah. So scroll down.
Oh,
that
you mean
fits.
For the.
Yes, fits.
Let me show you. If this matters, people. I'm going to log into mine.
Yeah. You won't be able to do it with me.
Because this is where course pages don't act like Wikipedia pages, which is the worst. Is that my password?
Yep.
So this, you have to actually edit back from the main page, right here. So this template right here just adds the affects that banner. Is that what you want to speak to?
Yeah, I tried doing that, but because I did it in the course visit, it wasn't updating.
Let me see if that changed it. Should it change it? Yeah, so now it'll say that.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's really the worst. Sorry.
Great, thank you.
You can lock yourself back.
Sure. So yeah, as you've just seen, course pages have quirks, and there's always bugs that get filed because when you go to edit it, it might not behave the way you expect it to behave.
But there are people to help.
Yeah, so. Would the appropriate form for that be the education notice board if someone was having trouble with that? Is there an OnWiki place where that discussion should take place?
Yeah, I think that's best. To go there, I mean, or to talk to Tony since he's manages the program at EFA. But if you do it,
because I mean, if it pops up on the education notice board, Tony might just get pinged anyways behind the scenes. So
yeah, or someone else can answer it for you.
Yeah, well, you basically said we'll read next week.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's the course pages are wonderful compared to when we had nothing. It's really, really, really useful for tracking usernames and, you know, things like that. But there's definitely still, it's very much hacked together. And so I know it's probably even worse when it gets translated to other language Wikipedias.
It's the same.
And so even on English Wikipedia where it was created, it's pretty bad.
Would it be useful to have some kind of a feedback mechanism so that we could just kind of feedback on how it's... So there is already something.
The people responsible.
There's not actually a team developing on it anymore.
Yeah.
But there is somebody who will fix bugs.
Yeah.
And so it's currently kind of in limbo for improvements. But it's pretty functional, at least for tracking usernames and signing on as peer reviewers. And then once you get used to it, you can hack together most of what you need. But yeah. Sorry.
From stuff I've heard, maybe I've got the wrong end of the stick here, but I've got the impression that that the courses extension is kind of being folded into possibly something a bit bigger, more general
extension. But that person who was leading that project left the Wikimedia Foundation, and I think I don't work at the Wikimedia Foundation, but I heard they were in conversation about what to do next.
Yes, and because of resources and personnel and all that, nothing's going to change for the next fiscal year.
Because I could have imagined that a general editor's thing would have been useful for things like just setting up kind of ad hoc things like hackathons
and
stuff like that. And
people still use it. I mean, I still encourage people to use it. You know, I'm doing a workshop next week at a university, and we decided to create a course page just so they have easy access to the resources we have listed there, and so that we can have one space where everyone's enrolled together, even though it's not actually a class. So.
Yeah.
I mean, people can still use it that way. It's just kind of weird because of the terminology, but...
Yeah, think of it like a pop-up.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A pop-up class.
Exactly.
Don't you use it to any kind of workshop or glam or whatever. It doesn't really matter. That's why now they're developing a new tool as well.
Yeah, so that's the tool Jamie was mentioning. So it's still a ways off. So for now, we just recommend people...
Years.
We recommend people hack the education extension because despite the fact that it's held together with duct tape and bubble gum, mm-hmm. it does a lot of things that make your life easier. Like, if you have students enroll through the enroll button, you know you actually have their correct username. You don't have a typo, you don't have a trailing space. And some of those things out, you will bang your head against the wall when you're trying to run numbers or track contributions on Wiki.
Can you just take a tiny bit of time to give a brief list of what you would say to an academic in, you know, 30 seconds, all the reasons, that was a good one, to use the education exit? Yeah.
It will make online, or like on Wiki organization easier. It's also good for transparency, so that your course is operating in a space where a random Wikipedian could browse through the courses and see that they have similar interests, and maybe they want to be helpful and proactive, and or maybe they'll be watching your edits. So I don't know. How do you sell? Do you try to sell the extension?
Yes, I definitely sell it because. My main reason I do is that if somebody doesn't use the extension, they're not in my program.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know who their students are, what they're doing on Wikipedia, they're not represented in any data that we pull, they're not going to get featured in any blog posts. I can't really validate using our resources, whether it's staff time or financial or, you know, sending them brochures and things like that, if I don't even know who they are, what they're doing. And so sometimes that can work, just telling, kind of being like, you know, we really want the really good work your students are doing to be counted in what we're doing and be represented in what students are doing on Wikipedia. And I mean, really now it's not a problem because it's useful. So it's because it has enough functional tools. So the view activity, do you want to show that?
Yeah. Well, this
course
her
classes, you can go to any of the US courses.
Yeah, exactly.
The view activity is probably what I sell as the biggest feature for professors, because they can just get a snapshot of what's going on. And actually, the activity feed has been altered recently, and it's in queue to be added. So even though there's not people technically developing, that will change, and it's a lot more functional. I'm a little biased because my colleague is the one who helped do it.
Okay, here we have some activity.
The fact that you can pull all the metrics together in one place, really, you can see them.
Yeah, and this is really useful, you know, for me, like, I just do Control F, new article, and you can go, wow, 7 students created new articles this week, and kind of get a look at, you know, what's going on there, are they notable, is, you know, it's just a good space to see what they're actually doing.
Is there interaction with Wikidata?
Nope.
It doesn't interact with
Wikipedia. I was just going to say, it barely even interacts with Wikipedia.
Going back to the selling points, I would also say for beyond monitoring, and it allows for the massive data collection that we do as kind of countrywide or region-wide, but there's also some tools that you could use if you just want to try to sell reach. So Sage, who's with the WikiEd Foundation, has developed like a course stats tool, and I'll be sure to share links with you all. But every course has a course ID. And so that course ID.
Do you want to show them that? Because
yeah.
It's really confusing
okay.
to find. You have to go to the. You actually have can't
point.
Find it from the course page. You have to find it from the institution page. Which, another pro tip, to get to the institution page easily.
It's on the course listing page now.
Yeah, it's your course. Yeah.
No, but. Oh, well, on this. But if you're on the actual course page.
Yeah.
Which most people just bookmark their course page. Why would you ever go back to this unless you're me or Tony?
Right.
But. It's not on that, but here, look, go just delete / online communities in the URL, in the,
yeah.
Just delete that,
okay.
And In the Slack, yeah. Or in the Slack.
Oh, yeah. Always forget about that.
And then it'll just take you to the university, and then you can see the course ID number, 368.
Okay. So we can pull this course ID number into a tool, and we can do course pages for the whole course. So you're not just looking at one student contributor, you're looking at a whole cohort. And you can also list every article that the cohort has touched. So your students are probably not branching out and editing stuff, they're not like assigned to edit, but you could also just see what they're touching.
Just a quick question. Is the source code sitting in a repository somewhere? Because there was one thing that I was looking at, which is there's a WMF Labs tool for user edits.
Uh-huh.
And I was hacking the courses extension and actually stuck a one-liner in to put a link into that tool into all of the user stats, so you could actually see the graphical stuff in the user stats. Mm. It would be nice if the actual tool in the course page actually had the link through to this editor. So you could actually
you want
stats.
The source code for the course stats?
Yeah, so basically it's just literally you could just stick some of those things in and just add them as links into those pages so you could actually just pull these stuff straight off.
I just asked Sage.
Awesome.
So, is it good practice to get the students to have a special account for their college work separate from the other hundreds and thousands of edits they do in their own time anyway?
Is this a sarcastic question?
Well, no, it's a genuine question, because if you have got
but should they compartmentalize?
Who's an established editor, and you've got all their edits because they're using their usual user name. You're not.
Is there a privacy issue?
I don't think. Well, I mean, I would personally say like that's going to be one out of I don't know how many students.
But
what? Why do you want them to separate it?
Well,
so it doesn't pull into your data.
And also, I mean, there's a whole issue about having multiple accounts. So as a doing training with trainers, I have a separate account for when I'm doing training. So I wanted to see if what experience there had been about that actually for what you're doing at this institution, you should be using this kind of user account, which would be separate for other things you do, but that's just not been an issue.
I mean, that's up to you, I guess, when students are creating usernames, I remember I was actually a student in the Public Policy Initiative, the predecessor of the Wikipedia Education Program, and we were just told by our ambassador, you can pick your real name or you can pick a fake name, it just depends on what you feel comfortable with online. That was like our advice. No one in our group was a Wikipedian. So however you want the instructor or ambassador to advise the students,
It's actually quite a good question, because if you're dealing especially with new editors or experienced ones, it's that possible idea of, yes, you may want more than one online identity, so you may want a professional identity to be doing academic stuff, but you may have a personal one to go on with your, so if you're someone who's interested in kind of doing lots and lots of edits about manga or anime outside of the academic context, then you should be able to do that on your own.
I think it's totally fine if they do it. It's just most of them don't, even if the professor gives them the caveat. They just, I mean, I see the most students say the most, even with their own username, they say the most ridiculous things. Like their user page, you're just like, it makes me laugh at least 12 times a day. But even, you know, so I think, I mean, of course, giving them the option, most professors do, especially with privacy concerns at universities. It's typically not really a problem or a concern.
So I think that has a lot of how far in front of an assignment maybe you might want to do that. Because you may want to prep them and say, register a Wikipedia username before we even start the course so that you can do whatever.
Yeah.
You may want to do that, or you may tie in with the enrollment thing as well.
Right. And I mean, the onboarding process, you can work that out whether you want to do it with a small group together, you want to assign that as homework. There's links on the template for training. So yeah, at the top of on the English Wikipedia course pages, there's training for students, training for instructors. So you can assign training for students as a homework assignment. They go through it to kind of get onboarded to a certain extent. And then to enroll in the course page, you have to have an account. So that could be assignment, that could even be assignment one, enroll in the course on Wiki. So then you're, that logistical hurdle has been overcome. You don't necessarily run into the 6-account thing per IP address,
mm-hmm.
Which you all can also get around by working with the right people online too. So, so I mean, it can be somewhat convoluted, but getting this set up makes life a lot easier when you are running the course. You can see the activity feed, you can pull stats, interesting stats from different tools that have been built around it. And then, I know you had asked about Wikimetrics. We might save that for after the coffee break and do kind of a, maybe some clicking through, some doing some reporting on Wikimetrics. But that tool will give you things like per user or aggregate edit counts, byte counts, page, not pages yet. That's under discussion. Those are the main two things you can get out of that are useful for reporting and talking about reach. Are there any questions from what we just went over?
Just to stress that it is important to monitor it. Some people do work at universities and don't even know, not about the extension, not about anything. And having numbers is really important because that really makes a difference when you talk to stakeholders. So.
Yeah, so like for Shani's course, we were able to, before Wikimania, we were able to use Sage's tool and say that her 65 students had touched over 200 articles on Hebrew Wikipedia, and those articles had been viewed, is it over 200,000 times or something?
300,000.
So you can say that the reach, I mean, we don't know if those are 300 unique visitors and all that stuff, so there's caveats, of course, but it does show a good story in terms of reach and,
yes.
And impact.
And people like these numbers. I mean, the numbers were quoted a lot. So, in terms of reach, it's really important, I think.
Yeah.
I think also for us, I mean, as educators and people who let their students do stuff like that, we want to be able to tell the students as well. Listen, you were able to, during the semester as a group, this is what you did. That's amazing. You created this and this much articles, and you reached this and this and much people. That's quite a powerful tool.
I've touched on a lot of that. So I'll make sure to send these links around, but things that I think are super useful are, I want to get bigger, are the online trainings that are available on English Wikipedia. There's also a program training that's on the Outreach Wiki, which is kind of based more for like a program leader who's running a program kind of at the country level, but it kind of gets you thinking about the reason behind doing a program. What do you want your goals to be? Is it to create more Wikipedia editors, or is it to improve a subject area? So it kind of gets you thinking about that and how you intend to measure against your goals or learning outcomes, objectives. And I think a good brochure that I think is good for kind of selling the program is the case studies brochure. It's stories that professors who've done it around the world, whether it's translation or whether it's illustration or your more, I guess, typical article writing. So are people, whatever you want your students to be learning or your objectives are, there's probably a case study that matches it. So if you need to get buy-in from your colleagues or your boss, you can use that sometimes. And those are all available online. And we also love to collect new ones. So if you want have a story you want to share, a success story, we'd love to collect new case studies or blog about it or things like that.
Are there any particular evaluation approaches you're interested in terms of making the case, or are you pretty open?
So from my level as the program manager, I tend to look at like data that comes from like 20 different classes, and I aggregate it. I look at how many students are enrolled, how many students are actually editing, because you might have 85 accounts and you might have 30 that actually made one edit. So, and then you can see who's editing where, why are they not editing. So I look at it more kind of hindsight. I tend to be less engaged with the stats during the course of the term and more engaging with the ambassadors if there's kind of fires to put out or conflicts that arise on Wiki or things like that. So a lot of, for me, it's more, I like to look at the big picture impact. And so kind of like Jamie said, I try to get people enrolled in the extension so that they're part of that story. So I want to know how many students we have globally, what they're doing on the different language Wikipedias. Which also reminds me of something. If you have students who are working on multiple projects, the extension only works on the project you're working on. So this is another caveat. So if you're on English Wikipedia, but you have students engaging on other projects, you can't capture that activity through the course extension. And the course extension has to be installed in each project you're working on. So if you're on Wikibooks, I don't think it's on Wikibooks.
I'm seeing them.
You could get it. You could get it put on Wikibooks if you want, and just do a request for comment, and then do it through a bug request. As long as there's no opposition, it's a pretty straightforward process. And you may be the only person using it, but what was that?
It doesn't have to be translated. So
yeah, exactly. The interface is ready to go. But we like a lot of students I see in the Egypt program, for example, do translation, and you can only see what they're doing on the Arabic wiki. You don't see if they're doing anything on any of the other wikis, or even commons. Or, but we can, when we look at Wikimetrics, after the break, we can look at multiple project things. So even if they're not captured in the extension, you can kind of take a username and validate it across multiple projects and pull every edit they're doing on any Wikimedia project. So that's kind of cool.
They did what you instructed and created a user, a multi-language user.
Right, so I mean the single user global account thing is somewhat new, and so yeah. So there are some quirks, I guess, of course. Any questions following up with that?
Just a comment, I think there is the third training for students, right? So this is the best one, usually the most
which
most
one?
Frequently used one.
This training?
The Wikipedia training for students, isn't it?
Did
you have that?
Did you say is that the most frequently used one?
Yeah.
For the one for students?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is on the English Wikipedia. You can get there by going to Wikipedia or WP training. And then you can choose, there's a more
general. I wanted to draw attention to that one. Yeah,
this one?
The newcomers, I don't know that. That's short.
So I'm not entirely, oh, thanks.
I was just gonna show you, this is how the page you go to see who has completed the training. Unfortunately, this is the only way, but
wow.
Yes, the students, this is the most active one.
Sweet.
Because there are a lot more students than there are instructors.
And the training itself on Wiki was created as like a module so you could create other trainings using that framework. So I think the newcomers one was adapted based on the student. I think the student one was the first one, and then all the others were kind of adapted off of that. And it's something that it's not available in every language, or parts of it are and parts of it aren't. We're trying to get it up in Arabic, but I don't think we ever did. But it's a super helpful thing, and it's also a great homework, just because it'll have short videos, it'll walk you through, let's look at at least the table of contents.
Some parts of it are really interactive.
Core bits, editing, so like, sandboxing, and then things like adding images. So if a student's like, I don't know how to add a picture, you can say, go back to the training. And then if they still don't know, you can help them out, but kind of help yourself. I don't know. Are there any other questions? I want to wait on Wikimetrics, because that will just be diving down another rabbit hole. And I know we're supposed to break in a couple minutes. Oh yeah. Okay. So learn to edit Wikipedia in under an hour. So you have different missions. Say hello, an invitation to Earth. And it uses there's a guided tour interface, so it brings up modules and boxes and stuff. So it just tries to kind of gamify the whole experience of making your first edit, using a talk page and all of that. So you could assign this instead of the training or to complement the training as well. So this box is your spacesuit. If you cool. So this will eventually
discover your special role.
So and it'll tell you how to register and all that. So. Logged in, I thought. Maybe I'm not. Oops, we lost. Oh. Okay. So it says, say hello to the community. Oh, he wants to edit my user page.
It takes you to your user page to create and use yourself.
I know we had a couple of students last year who actually sort of found it and started using it and said they actually found it quite useful.
Yeah, and it will just, I've actually never done it and been meaning to.
I've tried it.
When Sage pulled some stuff from this into the student training so that now it's a lot more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few bugs with it. Only when I'm trying to show it to people.
Of course. And so, yeah, the training is kind of just like a slide deck format with you go through and it gives you page counts and all that.
I think the training is really good because it's geared specifically at students. It's good for new users anyway, but it talks about, in your assignment or your professor might have you do this. And it, because it's not just really Wikipedia text heavy, they actually go through it.
It's in an interface that's quite familiar as well. So it's kind of like there's a bit of a wizard thing going on there, and so it's kind of like a more general kind of format to it. I think it looks really good, actually.
Yeah, I think it's in smaller bites for them.
Yeah.
And.
Mm-hmm.
When you send a help page to a student or a new user, there's no way they're reading that.
Mm.
The only people who read those have been editing Wikipedia for like 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the joke.
Help page is good for people who know what it is, but have actually forgotten it.
Yeah.
You kind of
or to get down to the every last detail of it.
Yeah.
And then like things like this, I like the videos. What?
Because just before Wikimania, I was doing a kind of working on some of the papers around the Barbican, and one is John Trundle House. He was the first publisher of Hamlet, Shakespeare's Hamlet,
uh-huh.
where it has such immortal lines as to be or not to be. There's the point. And there's a kind of debate about how Hamlet got written, and this is like the first published version. Is not the version she's credited to.
There's no one version of Hamlet.
Exactly.
Every single version of Hamlet has different components.
Exactly. So having that as a kind of
uh-huh.
example, I just, when you think about that bit of research I've been doing, you go, well, okay, but maybe people did used to, when it was new, yeah, I'll put my version of Hamlet.
That's funny. Should we break?
Yeah, let's break. And then we'll do some Wikimetrics number crunching after the break.
When are we back?
This is the only thing.